God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is a Sunday of hope. And really, it is a very powerful season. We understand and know that it's a great expectation of the coming of Christ. And in this Advent, we also wait for his second coming. And how we desire oftentimes that that day would come, but I love the patience of our Lord. He desires that no one would be left behind, that all would have the opportunity to know him, and he desires that his word would continue to go out. And really today, this is a message that actually has come to my heart probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I really don't know why, so we pray the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word today. We're going to read from 2 Kings, and we're going to read from chapter 6, continuing where Mark left off, verse 8 through 23, and you can remain seated for this reading. We're going to read from 2 Kings, chapter 6, beginning at verse 8, continuing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, and he said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dorth." Therefore he sent he thither horses and chariots and great host, and they came by night, and they compassed about the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee to open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they came to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, so to go to their master." And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of the Syria came no more to the land of Israel. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. Father, we don't claim to understand and know in the flesh, but we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you can encourage us. And we know, Father, that this word has messages for each and every one of us, but maybe today, Father, there's one that needs to be encouraged all the more. We ask that you would allow your word to speak and men of flesh to be silent. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. A lot of people get confused with Elijah and Elisha. And oftentimes we have a tendency to believe that they are the same. But Elisha actually picks up the mantle of Elijah. He continues, if you could say it, he was his understudy. And he continues in this first opening account that Mark read about the axe head may seem trivial to us. I mean, it's a miracle. How do you get iron to float? But the fact of it is, it continues to show that the power of God is still alive and still well. And I think this is important for us. So many times we act as though we don't do this, but we have a tendency to follow human beings. We have a tendency to think so-and-so is the right one, and this is the one that we must follow. But there is a real disappointment in that when we put our stock into a human. When they're gone, we can wonder what to do. So if we took one small thing from that account that Mark read to us, it would be that the power of God is still continuing to work. It does not depend upon my hands, but rather the consistency to God and His word and His promises. And that really is what we want to speak about today. God knows our needs. He understands where we are. Honestly, sometimes I have to wonder if I even know where I am. If I can understand what my needs are. But to understand and know that God oversees all of this, and He understands right where we are. He understands the enemy that's coming. He understands the victories ahead. He understands what exactly He desires for us. So after this account of a great miracle, now we're kind of rushed into a different scene. And it's interesting because Syria is constantly wanting to go after Israel. Later in life, this is going to be one of the things that will actually drive Israel into the bondage of Rome, because all of these other nations continually come after them. And they desire to have protection, so they make this deal with Rome, if you could say it in this way. And then when they get into this deal with Rome, then they're constantly looking to get out of it. Because Rome will demand more and more and give them less and less. And that's why the ushering in of Jesus is so important, even to the children of Israel. Even those that were following and seeing the miracles that He had done. Because they thought, in all honesty, He would really make them a great nation again. See, we're carnal people. We're not meant to be. But we often only think about what we can get at this moment, at this time, instead of understanding by the eyes of faith what God has for us in eternity. So you turn and you look at the situation. Syria is coming after them. And he takes counsel. And he really turns around and he says, I want you to go to this area. He says, I'm going to set up a camp here. We're going to go after Israel. We're going to hit them in a hard way. But then we turn around and we see, but the man of God, and that's really what I think is an awesome statement here. It's not Elisha himself acting. He is acting in as a man of God, God operating in and through him. How many times do we enter into this world and think we can fix it? We can deal with it. But the fact of it is, God Himself is the one to deal with the situations. Elijah never turns and says, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do this. We're workers by nature. We create all the time. We build big businesses. We build big homes. We buy the fastest cars and the biggest cars. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have a different life. But what do we do that thinks that we can control all of our circumstances? That we can change it? Syria is coming after Israel, and they're coming after Israel in a big way. But now, Elijah, he sends word to the king of Israel. See, God is not going to allow this to take place. The king of Israel didn't have an idea. Because he's the king doesn't mean he knows everything. But who does? God. And he allows that his servant would share with the king of Israel. He says, you know what? Be cautious, beware. He says, don't go to this area. He says, the Syrians are going down there. So the king gets wise to this when this is shared with him. And he sends spies down there. It's kind of interesting because he's testing what Elijah says. And they go down there. And they found it so. He turned around and he warned him over and over. See, maybe this is too simple for us. Because it's the consistency of our God. We always talk about the fact that God watches over drunks and fools, right? The fact of it is, God watches over all of us. He desires for us to be in his preservation. He desires it so greatly that he sent his only begotten son. And that's what this Advent season's about. We turn around and we get all romantic about it. We understand the gift giving. We understand all of this stuff. We get up here with manger scenes. We do all kinds of stuff. But the fact of it is, this coming of Christ meant that he was going to pay the sin debt of the world. That is the gift. Because God desires for restoration for each and every one of us so greatly. He desires to protect us so greatly that he paid the penalty of our debt. The man of God reveals to the king of Israel so many times that the Syrian king starts to go a little bit suspicious. Which one of you guys is in cahoots with the Israelites? Can you tell me? Because it's unthinkable. Which one of you in reality is now narking on us, telling on us, telling everybody our plans? Who of you has got this relationship? And I think it's really interesting. He says, nobody. A servant comes to the king and says, it's not that someone from our group is actually in cahoots. God has a powerful force. He says, none, my lord. Oh, my king. He says, but Elisha. He's a prophet who is in Israel. And I want you to think about this for a moment. He's a prophet in Israel that actually can tell the king even what you say in the most private quarters of your home. And this is brought out for an example that there wouldn't be people invited into the king's private quarters, but that God hears. And this is something that I think we should take into account also. There's so many times that Jesse has a tendency to think, well, you know, nobody will know about this. That's my human side, thinking that I can deceive everybody. But the fact of it is, God knows the very intents and thoughts of our heart. God understands us completely. In fact, he knows even what I don't. But this goes to once again show the encompassing power of our God. Not only does he know what I am thinking, he knows what the enemy is thinking. He says, this prophet knows everything that is said, even in secret. So now the king of Syria turns around and says, I want you to go find him and tell me where he is, because I'm going to seize him. Now I think that's quite humorous. Here the guy tells him, there's nothing that is hid from Elisha. He knows everything because God speaks to him. Well, we're going to sneak up on him and find him. That's our human understanding. We just don't grasp it. We sometimes just don't grasp the power of God. We still fool ourselves thinking into we can control everything. But they do this. And they told him, that he was in Dothan. So what does he do? He's going to show the might of Syria. He's going to take and he's going to show the power and the might of Syria. This is one man that they're seeking to find. And he sends enough chariots and enough horses and enough men to encompass the whole city. Now that's impressive. I mean, come on, we watch all those videos, we watch all that stuff. I mean, we may not have TVs in our homes, but we all have a phone that we can watch anything we want on, right? And we see the Korean armies and all this other stuff, North Korea marching, and they got all this stuff going on. We're pretty blown away by that. Then we start panicking in our flesh, thinking, well, what in the world, who's going to protect us from this, you know? And then we start getting a little bit nervous about it. But the fact of it is, all of that stuff there is pomp and circumstance compared to the power and the might of our God. And he turns, and he sends all of these troops down there. And they came at night, making a sneak attack to surround the city. And now there's this young servant. And this, to me, really exemplifies me in my flesh. There's this young boy. Sometimes we act like we're such men. We stand up in such great valor and we're so strong and independent. But then we see the circumstances around us and we become as children. And the servant of the man of God rose up early in the morning and he goes outside, probably going out there to have his coffee. And he says, look. He looks. He sees an army with horses and chariots. And it was all around the city. Unimaginable. How are we going to get ourselves out of this? Have you ever woke up in the morning and saw such circumstances that you don't think you can be beyond it? You feel like the enemy is just surrounding you no matter where you may be, what's going on in your life? We turn around and we look at the circumstances, we look at the struggle, maybe we turn on the news and we hear the bad news, maybe we talk to our family and find out there's difficulty, whatever it may be, and we feel overwhelmed by the amount of difficulty facing us. I've been there. Life is real, whether we want to admit it or not. Life is messy, it can be a struggle. And we look at these situations and we can become overwhelmed. And he cries out actually to Elijah. He says, alas, oh my goodness, Elijah. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I've been there 110 times. How many times in my married life have I turned around and made a comment to my wife? What am I going to do? God gives us a helpmeet, does he not? In a healthy relationship, in a strong relationship, we are there to encourage one another. And it's oftentimes my wife that has to tell me, you aren't going to do anything. Do we have those relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we have those relationships in our own family where we feel overwhelmed? And when we feel like we're to the point of saying, what will I do? Do they encourage us to look? Even as John the Baptist proclaims, behold the Lamb of God. Look to him. We have no other proclamation. There are many gifts and beauties within the church. There's no doubt about it. But the ultimate proclamation is to behold the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, who takes the sin debt of this world. Look to him. In our circumstances, stop looking at the enemy. Elijah, what are we going to do? Elijah turns and he says, don't be afraid. I got this. Is that what he says? That's what our proud flesh would say. You know what, Micah? Don't worry about it. I got it. I'll take care of this. he confirms to him, he says, don't be afraid. Those that are on our side outnumber them. What? It's just me and you here. Maybe we could scavenge up a couple of people here, but that's nothing compared to the army that's surrounding us from the might of Syria. But this is where we need the eyes of faith. When we look to the Advent season, it brings us continually to that finished work of Jesus Christ, the gift that he's given. But our eyes of faith need to be fixed upon it at all times, that we would understand and know that whatever the situation is, God has an answer. Not Elisha. Not me. Not any other preacher on this earth. The answer is Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And then I love what Elijah does. He prays. He says, oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Do we ever pray that prayer? Heavenly Father, I know you have done all things, that you have given us all things in and through Jesus Christ. But open our eyes that we may see it. Don't allow fear to rule in our hearts. But allow us to understand and know we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots and fire. That protection of God all around Elisha. Now we're talking. Huh? In our humanness, aren't we talking now? All right, God, now you got this. That's right. Now we have these huge armies all around us protecting us. Thank you that you've opened my eyes. Now use it to annihilate them. God shows his might, but he also shows his constraint. Sometimes we think we're so powerful and so wonderful because we can do something, but the fact of it is, oftentimes, it is one with the power and the might that resists to destroy that is the most powerful. He sees the army. He sees the power of God. His eyes are opened. And in our humanness, we'd be proud for a moment and then say, good, use it. The Syrians come down to attack. But what does Elijah do? He doesn't say, go get him. Elijah prayed to the Lord and he says, strike these individuals with blindness. And I think this is really, really powerful because they are blind. They are heading headlong into a battle that they have no ability to win. None. They don't even see it. How many times do we do that in our own lives when we do not rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ? When we enter into this world thinking we're going to fix it, we're going to control it. But yet God is patient with us. They're heading into battle. And Elijah really says, if I could say it in real terms, allow their blindness to be shown. Allow it. And they are struck blind. He doesn't use the army to destroy them. This is not the way our God operates. See, especially in this new covenant, so many times people will use religion to beat people to death, to bring them into submission. Our God desires for restoration, and the restoration is found in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He has come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. He says, in reality, we are made clean. We are made clean through his word. He is always trying to conform us to the image of his son. But are our eyes open, or are we seeking to establish it in our own way? They turn around and the young man's eyes are open, but their eyes are closed. And Elijah walks right into the midst of the battle and he says, you know what, guys? This is not where you want to be. And they're feeling helpless and vulnerable. There's no doubt about it. He says, this is not where you long to be. He says, this isn't the city. Come on, follow me. That's an interesting thing now. Here the enemy is coming down. There are chariots and everything ready to be able to take them out. But the fact of it is, now they are following the man of God, Elijah. So he takes and he brings them into Samaria, out of their way, directly into the path of the king of Israel. And Elijah says, Lord, let them see now. And really it comes down to is, let them see who is God. Not the king of Syria. But in reality, the true king of Israel. Open their eyes. And the Lord opened their eyes. And so the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Syria, not Samaria, not where they wanted to be, that's for sure. And it's interesting because who's there but the king of Israel? And now we think, well, here's the point. Those angels didn't have to do the work, but now we can because we are the true ones, right? But the king of Israel sees them, and now he is questioning Elijah. He says, should I strike them all down? Should I kill them? Should I strike them all down? Easy pickings? Sometimes in our human flesh, that's what we would like to do, right? Destroy the enemy. And that's what we miss so much in Christianity. We do not fight against flesh and blood. The scripture says it's principalities and powers. Our desire, our need is to bring the gospel to people, that their hearts would be changed, that their eyes would be open, that we could preserve life, not destroy it. Should I destroy them? I think it's interesting because not too many chapters ago, the previous king to Israel, he desired that Baal would answer questions for him, and his life was taken. And there were men upon men sent to Elijah, and they were consumed. But now this king, only a few chapters later, is asking of Elisha. He says, no, you will not strike them down. He says, would you actually turn around? And basically, would you kill someone that's in a cage? If you've won dominance over somebody as prisoners, are you going to destroy them just to kill them? No. He says, feed them. Isn't this what Christ tells us to do even to our enemies? That we are to love them, that we are to feed them, that we are to give. He says, set bread before them. He says, give them water. He says, and that they may have drink and that they may have food. He says, and then send them back. This is exactly what Jesus talks about in the New Testament. So it says they did this. They turned around and they served their enemies. And the enemies stopped attacking. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are our eyes of faith open? I pray that we would desire from God to open our eyes of faith each and every day, that we may truly see the workings of God around us. That we would stop playing us against them. And that we would truly seek to understand the power and the might of our God and also his consistent constraint. Too many times we think God is going to just whack that evil one. If God desired to whack the evil one, he would have hit me a long time ago. But God desires for us to know him, his love, his mercy, and his grace. But Pastor, God is righteous, and he demands righteousness. Yes. That's what Advent is for. That righteousness will not come from our hands. It comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. He demands a righteousness, and it is paid by Christ Jesus himself. And it is given to us by grace through faith. There are enemies all around, but may we never seek to destroy. But may we actually stop and pray, even as the prophets of old, and ask that our eyes would be open. This Advent season, may our eyes be open. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this season. But Father, we know that we are just remembering what has been accomplished and desiring what will come. But also, Father, give us hearts of discernment, give us hearts of compassion, and give us hearts that desire for restoration, not destruction. There's so many hurting people in this world. There's so many hurting individuals around us. But yet, Father, we know your desire is to give life and give it abundantly. As humans, we turn to so many different vices for what we think is a good life, but it's a mask. We ask that this mask would be peeled off, that our eyes of faith would be open, and that we would see that righteousness in Christ. And allow us to give it, to share it, and to encourage one another in it. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his